Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 15th day of May. So glad you are with me. Yes, the 15th day of May is my birthday. I want to say thank you to the Facebook posts and everything, and I'm doing this in advance, and yet I'm saying thank you because I know how the social media world works, and everybody gets notices, hey, it's so-and-so's birthday, and then you go in there, and boom, there's a million of them, and you can't respond to everyone, and so knowing that people know my birthday and they know and they know I'm going to read that or hear about that at some point, I say thank you in advance. And I don't make a huge deal, of course, of my own birthday. I didn't have anything to do with it. I thank the Lord for my parents bringing me into the world and giving me the opportunity. And then the Father giving me the opportunity He has given me and the platform He has given me. So I am beyond grateful for everything that Father has shined down upon me, and I receive it and thank God for it. This day is a Saturday on the calendar, and that means it's time to tell you about what is coming up on the podcast for tomorrow, which I like to do every week to let you know what to watch for, what to look for. Audio-only site, deeperdaily.com. If you like video, paulwhiteministries.com, or you can subscribe to the YouTube page, PWM. Of course, the video has separate audio that will post wherever you're listening to this podcast as well. Look for this message tomorrow. I am very excited about it. It's called, What Do You Mean, Sleeper? And it is a question that was asked by the captain of the vessel that Jonah paid to flee from the presence of the Lord and take him to Tarshish. And he gets on the boat and he goes to sleep and a storm arises and the captain wakes him up and says, What do you mean, sleeper? I have been, as most of you listening to the podcast know, a little obsessed over the last few weeks with Jonah. I did a Jonah essay edition at the end of April. I'm doing another Jonah essay edition at the end of May, heads up. I did a week plus on Jonah just a few weeks ago when we were journeying here through these Old Testament books and stories. And I just haven't been able to shake him. So I've been trying to read what I can get my hands on. I've been wrestling with different concepts and thoughts. I've not had a story from the Bible jump out at me and say so many things in a long time. And it's been such a fun journey to unpack the stuff I'm seeing. And I couldn't wait any longer. I didn't even want to wait and preach it in front of a crowd. I wanted to get it out to you. The message you're going to hear is me looking at the camera. I flipped the camera around at the venue of our Tuesday night Bible study here in Flowery Branch, Georgia, and you can see the theater chairs. So that'll be a little interesting for some of you who wonder, what's the other side of that room look like? There's no one in there. It's just me. And just talked into the camera and ministered 40, 45-ish minutes, something like that. I loved doing this. I love this word. I'm still excited about the things we used to unpack. It's a parallel examination of two boat rides, Jonah's and Jesus's. Jonah across the sea, while he sleeps, there's a storm. Jesus across the sea, while he sleeps, there's a storm. One is caused by action. The other is to disrupt your action. And I'm not going to give you any more. Watch for it tomorrow. I think it's going to bless your socks off. And I warn you in advance, it's going to challenge you. Okay, today we're supposed to be going a little deeper into the book of Malachi. I introduced Malachi. I'm supposed to start giving you text and talking about it and talking about some of this story. There's only a couple of things that I really want to bring out from the book of Malachi. But in the interim, between the last time I actually recorded the podcast and between recording this one today, which, as you might imagine, for me can be 2 or 3 or 4 days, whereas for you, it's 24 hours between the airings. I have had the thought that it might be good to talk a little bit about the Old Testament because we are about to do a deep dive into Genesis 1, 2, and 3, maybe a little bit of 4. or at least a deeper dive. Pardon the pun, deeper daily. And I thought, well, there might be a space here where we could spend just 4 or 5 minutes talking about the canon. And so I want to do that. And I want to start with this thought. You can't call the Bible living and then view each verse as static. So the verse sits there. It, quote unquote, says what it says. And then that's it. If the word is living, then it doesn't exist in a vacuum. There has to be progress. There has to be progress of covenant. There has to be progress of revelation. There has to be progress of idea. And don't see progress in the scripture or in our interpretation of the scripture or in our revelation of the scripture. Don't see that as evidence that the idea is wrong. See it as evidence that the idea is on a journey in the same way we are on a journey. And that is why I say we are not disciples of the written word. We are disciples of the living Christ. Now, I believe the word is alive, which is why I don't believe that it is static, which is why I can read the Old Testament and see it and say, I don't see that in Jesus. And that doesn't cause me to lose my faith, fall apart, and get into fights over whether or not the scriptures matter. Rather, it lets me see that the journey is ever ongoing towards Christ, and that my plumb line is Jesus. Now, with a couple of minutes to go today, think about this. We read the Bible in English. Of course, it was not written in English. We make statements all the time. In the original Greek, it says this. In the original Hebrew, it says this. We're not actually correct. We don't have the original Greek. We don't have the original Hebrew. We have an approximation, but even that approximation is likely hundreds, and in some cases, thousands of years away from the source. For instance, the oldest complete Hebrew manuscript of the Hebrew Bible in existence was penned in the year 1008. This is the Middle Ages. This is the first part of the 11th century. That text is on hold in Leningrad, now called St. Petersburg. You call it Leningrad because in scholarly world it's called the L text of the Hebrew Bible. The L text is the oldest full Hebrew Bible that we have, with the exception of the book of... they're all there. I'm getting ahead of myself. As we progress through the timeline, we found scraps of stuff, but we have nothing older than the 11th century L text of the Hebrew. 1947, we uncover the Dead Sea Scrolls. These are about 1,000 scraps of parchment, some of them complete books, that were found in clay pots in a cave near the Dead Sea in the year 1947. Those Dead Sea Scrolls did a lot to confirm our texts, because there was so much of them that lined up with what we already knew, but it did a lot to cloud us and confuse us, because there were also scraps and fragments of alternate versions of some of those Old Testament books. Most famously, there was a scroll of the entire 66 chapters of Isaiah that was very, very close to the L text, that thousand-year-old text we have of the Hebrew. But then there was stacks of other stuff from Isaiah that didn't line up with that. And so what did that do to us? Well, it caused some confusion. Which one do we trust? Which version do we trust? And it leads us to questions like, were those alternates from those scribes to try and explain things they didn't understand? Or were they just trying to show you the stuff that existed at the time? Because what we do know is that the Dead Sea Scroll texts come from the 2nd century BC. That's the oldest thing we have our hands on. And so alternate versions of the text older than what we had before. The fact that the scholars, the Masoretes, work so hard for seven centuries to assemble the scrolls is a compliment, tip of the hat to human ingenuity. And so I like to say this, I don't call what you hold in your hand the inspired word of God because I know it's been touched by scribes and I know it's been rewritten and I know it's been reassembled and we have the best we can, but and I don't think it was God's intention to get us back to the quote-unquote original Hebrew or original Greek, because if he did, he would have preserved them, and he didn't. Maybe it all happened because what we're supposed to do is look for Jesus in the text, not look for the text. And that helps us when we examine Old Testament scriptures, or at least maybe it should, to find life rather than finding the word for word that we're looking for. I wanted to say that today. It didn't have anything to do with a specific text from Malachi, but it was worth bringing up. Tomorrow we actually will deal with a text from Malachi, and we'll do so for the next couple of podcasts. See you tomorrow. God bless.